Pain is horrible, and it almost seems trite to say that, doesn't it? And yet, in the midst of pain, which is so bad, we want to do something. We want to lash out, especially at the person that is causing that pain. We want vengeance. Oh, beloved, listen. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You say, he's not going to repay. He's going to get away with it. She's going to get away with it. No, no, no. God is God, and he has his precepts for life. You can survive. So often, beloved, when we find ourselves in a trial, the temptation is, in the midst of that trial, is to look at that person that is causing the problem and want to lash out at them and want to deal with them immediately. And we forget that God will deal with them. We forget what God tells us about our enemies, that we're to pray for our enemies, that we're to do good for our enemies, that God causes his sun and his rain to come on the just and on the unjust. We forget that God says, vengeance is mine. We think almost that we are God and that we can straighten out that person. Now, I'm not saying we don't let them know what's going on. I'm not saying that we just have to shut our mouths and be a doormat to that person's abuses and things like that. So please don't hear that, because sometimes when you're in pain, the problem is you're hearing what is not being said, and you're personalizing it, and you're internalizing it, and you're not actually applying it according to its context. So I'm talking about you being in a wilderness situation. I'm talking about you being in a trial, in a test, in a temptation. And we've seen, as we've done this series on where is God when we're in the wilderness, as we've done this series and looked at God's deliverance to us in the wilderness, and we haven't seen that deliverance yet, but we will see it. But when we look at all of that, we have to understand that God filters everything that comes into our life through his fingers of love. My ring is like you, all right? My hand is like the hand of God. God has you in his hand. God is sovereign. God tells us in John chapter 10 that God has you in his hand and no one can pluck you out of his hand. All right, so if God is sovereign and he has you in his hand, then he is love. And in 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. Then everything that comes into your life has to be filtered through his fingers of love, so that no one can touch you, no one can say anything to you, no one can do anything to you without God's permission, because God is sovereign. And if they do anything, God says that if you are his child, ultimately, according to Romans 8, 28 and 29, ultimately, you will have that situation work together for your good. It's not good, but it will work together for your good, and God will use it to make you more like Christ. He will use it to shape you, to conform you into the image of his son. Remember, God has eternity in mind. Remember that when we're in a wilderness, when we're in a trial, all we can see is the wilderness. All we can see is the trial. All we can see is the barrenness. All we can see is feel the heat of the trial and the cold at night, because the desert can be very, very cold at night. All we can do is see ourselves hiding in a cave. Well, let's go to that cave, because that's where David is, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and this is such an important chapter. All right, so David is in the cave, and it says, Saul has gone out to seek him, and it says, and he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now, whether he went in to go to the bathroom or whether he went in because he was tired and he needed to lay down and cover his feet and rest a while, we really don't know. I mean, they debate on what relieve himself means, but it literally in the Hebrew, it means he went in to cover his feet, okay? And he went in to relieve himself. Now, David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. Catch this. I mean, David's way back in that cave. And if you've ever gone caving, you know what that, you know, caves can go on and on and on and on. And if you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and all those movies, you've seen all these caves and everything. It's not quite the same thing in those caves as you see in the movies. But anyway, David's back in the cave. Saul comes in and he's in there covering his feet, whatever he's doing, and David knows he's there. Now, David has, in a sense, got Saul trapped if Saul stays in that cave. But before we see what happens to Saul and to David in that cave. Now, if you've done your homework, if you're studying along with me, like I pray that you are doing, then you know what's going to happen. If you just by chance came upon this program, then it's because you and I have a divine appointment. God's brought you into the middle of a series on how God takes care of us and delivers us in the wilderness, God's deliverance in the wilderness, and you've come on this series, but you can catch up. And you need to listen to what I have said before because it's a very valuable and very pertinent series that will really speak to your heart and really help you in your wilderness, in your trial, in your temptation. Now, you can get information on all of this by going to preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com. And while you're there, download the study guide because there's more to learn and we want you to see these valuable lessons for yourself. Well, before we go on, I want us to stop and I want us to see something that is very exciting. I want you to go to Psalm 57. Turn in your Bibles and go to Psalm 57. And if you're unable to do that because of where you're listening to this teaching, then just write it down or get the tape and then you can see Psalm 57 for yourself. Now, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I want you to see something. At the heading of the psalms, many times he tells when the psalm was written or what the psalm is like or how the choir director is to set this psalm or this song. And Psalm 57 says, for the choir director, now I can't pronounce all these words. I've told you that I'm dyslexic. I've told you that I have a hard time with my pronunciation, so hang on. It's for the choir director. It is set to Altasheth, and it is a mikhtam, I guess is the way you say it, M-I-K-H-T-A-M, of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. Isn't that neat? You're reading along, you go, ooh, I know what that means, because you're studying the Bible, because you're seeing truth for yourself. So if you were just reading through the Psalms, and you came to that Psalm and you studied Samuel, you'd say, I know. But now listen, David's in the wilderness. Saul's trying to find him. Saul wants to kill him. Saul is determined. He has said, listen, I will search out all the thousands of Judah until I find him. So he's on this pursuit. David's in the wilderness in Gedi, and this is what he's writing in the psalm before Saul gets there. Be gracious to me. Be gracious to me, oh God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you. I'm in a cave, but my soul is taking refuge in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I am trusting you, God. I will cry to God most high. Now, when he says God most high, he is saying El Elyon, E-L-E-L-Y-O-N. And that's the name of God that shows that he is the Most High. He is the sovereign God. You see this name used so much in Daniel, the prophet, where God stresses his sovereignty over the nations, over time, over individuals. And so he says, I will cry to you, God Most High, the sovereign God that has me in your hand, that filters everything through fingers of love. It says, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Not me running ahead of God, not me acting prematurely, not me taking the situation in my own hands. He will send from heaven and help me. He reproaches him who tramples on me. It's Saul. God will send forth his loving kindness, his hesed. Remember, hesed is a covenant term. It's his loving kindness and his truth. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 7. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. Will you say that with me? Will you say it right now? Oh God, I'm in a wilderness. Be gracious to me. Be gracious to me. My soul takes refuge in you. Oh God, I will be steadfast. I will be steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. It is so good to sing psalms, to sing praises to God when you're in the wilderness. Because remember when David played and sang for Saul and he was tormented by an evil spirit, that helped Saul. Now you're not being tormented by an evil spirit, but the songs help. And he says, awake my glory, awake harp and lyre. He says, I will awaken the dawn. I will sit here in the darkness of the night and I will sing to God until the light of day comes. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Listen to what he says, for your loving kindness is great all the way to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, and let your glory be above all the earth. This is the psalm that he writes in the cave. And we know specifically he writes this one at this time. But also there is Psalm 142. And Psalm 142 is written in a cave. And it is a prayer, but it doesn't tell us which cave or when. But it says, I will cry aloud to the Lord with my voice to the Lord. I will make my supplication with my voice to the Lord. I will pour out my complaint to him. I will declare my trouble before him. God wants you just to tell it all to him. Well, we'll be back in just a moment, and make sure, beloved, you come back. You don't want to miss these precepts for life. Welcome back, beloved. Oh, how I wish I could just put my arms around you and hold you and weep with you in the midst of this wilderness, in the midst of this barrenness, in the midst of this frustration, in the midst of this pain. I wish I could hold you. I can't. But God has a place of refuge underneath the everlasting arms. That's where He has you, under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. He wants to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks and puts them and protects them and hovers over them and warms them in the midst of the cold and in the midst of the night. That's what He wants to do to you. Well, Psalm 142 is where I left you. And I just want you to see what David is saying in verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. I want you to know that God knows where you are. He says, in the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. They have a hidden trap for me. And that's what Saul is. He has a hidden trap. He's trying to trap David. He says, look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Is that the way you feel? There's no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. You're looking around. No one cares. No one understands. No one understands the pain. No one's been there. God understands. God understands. He sees from heaven. Now watch what He says. This is the way He feels, but does it stop there? Does the psalm end there? Is that it? It's over. No, it's not. Watch what He does. I cried out to you, O Lord. I cried out to you. I cried out to you. You can't stop with no one knows, no one cares, and then you just go into despair. You cannot do that. You've got to say, no, I cried out to the Lord. I've written a book that God has used to help so many people, and it's called As Silver Refined, Learning to Embrace Life's Disappointments. And people have told me many, many times it's been the source that gave them the victory in the midst of the most horrendous trials. I cried out to the Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. I may not find anyone here, but you are my portion. He says, give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Do you hear that faith? Do you hear that faith? This is what you need. You need faith, beloved, to know that God doesn't leave you in the wilderness. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 24. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, remember David's in the cave. He's written this psalm, at least Psalm 57, and probably Psalm 142. He wrote it in one cave somewhere in one of these wildernesses. And then Saul came in to relieve himself, to cover his feet. And David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. And the men of David said to him, behold, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. This is your day, David. It's finally come. This is your day. Get him, David. Get him. You've got him. Get him. Do away with him. Then David arose, and he cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So either Saul was relieving himself and was concentrating on that, or he had laid down, covered his feet, whatever. David is able to walk up, take his sword, and cut off the edge of Saul's robe. Now Saul's the king, and kings usually wear a different kind of robe than the commoner wears, because it signifies that he's the king. And it came about afterwards that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of the robe. I want you to see something. This is a man after God's own heart. This is a man that is sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, because remember, we saw the Spirit of the Lord came upon him when he was anointed. So this is a man all of a sudden that is smitten. Why? Because he cut off the king's robe. Now, was he saying in cutting off the king's robe, you don't deserve to be king? I don't know. And I don't think anybody really really knows. Was he making a symbolic act? I'm going to take your kingdom away from you. I don't think so. I don't think it was in character for David. Was he cutting off his robe because he wanted to show Saul, I could kill you, but I didn't look it. I cut off your robe. I could have cut you in two. Watch, I think at least we have that. And it says, so he said to his men, far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. Now, if you downloaded the study guide, you know that this is what you want to mark. We're marking anointed just with three blue dots. Okay? Or three purple dots if you want to, if purple and yellow are your colors for God. If anointing is your picture for God's blessing, then do it in blue, whatever. And I colored it yellow. I want you to see how David treats his enemy. He knows his enemy is the Lord's anointed. He knows that the Spirit of God had come on Saul at one time. He knows that he was anointed by God to be king. And so he's saying, I'm not going to kill him. I cannot kill him. It's the Lord's anointed. And David persuaded his men with these words. And he did not allow them to rise up against Saul. I mean, he has his men in that cave. He's got 600 men in that cave or somewhere. And those men are with him. And those men are ready to go. And I mean, they could have Saul dead in a matter of seconds. But he persuades them not. He says, and Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. So it seems like Saul has gone into that cave to use it as a bathroom. And that's what David has done. And so Saul's in there basically not with anyone. He's alone. I mean, it's a perfect setup to get rid of your enemy. And see, that's what you may think. But remember, God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will repay. Don't act like God. You're not God. Remember, there is only one God, and it is not you. And don't take that stance. Now, afterwards, David arose and went out to the cave and called after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the ground and prostrated himself. He said, I have acknowledged you as king. I have bowed to you as king. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men, saying, behold, David seeks to harm you. Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord had given you today into my hand in the cave. And some said to kill you, but my eye had pity on you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And you want to mark it again. Now, my father, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand? See it? He says, for in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you, know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait to take my life. I have not sinned against you. What is God's word to you today? What is God's precept so that you might live? It is this, that you are not God. You don't take vengeance, because if you take vengeance, it will eat your lunch and God will have to deal with you. You trust God even as David trusted God. Oh, beloved, don't miss the next program. Don't miss it. These are valuable precepts for life that you need in order to make it in the wilderness. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Succinctly put, what is our precept for life today? It's 1 Samuel 24, verse 12. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Think about it. God will be God. God will judge. God will bring vengeance, but my hand is not going to be against you. Oh, beloved, if you will do that, if you will learn that, then you're going to have such peace. And in the future, your conscience won't be troubled. You won't find yourself being tormented because you took things into your own hands and you moved prematurely and you did not allow God to work out His purpose. Remember the psalm in the cave. Remember what I told you about writing your own psalm? How I would love to hear that psalm. How I would appreciate it if you would just get online and send to me the psalm that you wrote. But what I want to do is I want to go back for just one quick minute to Psalm 57. And as we look at Psalm 57, as I turn to it, I just want you to know that your psalm will mean so very, very much to me because I love to know more about you. I love to get to know you as you're getting to know me. So in Psalm 57, this is what he says. He says in verse 5, "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit for me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it." They dug a pit for me, but I didn't fall into it. They fell into it. They fell into the pit that they dug with their own hands. Why? Because God has you by the hand, precious one. God takes you by the hand. He holds you by the hand. And He says He will uphold you and He will not allow your feet to stumble. He will not allow you to fall. Just hold on tight. Hold on until your knuckles are absolutely pink and your fingers are absolutely white. Hold on, beloved. He will not let you go, and you will triumph in the end. And as you hold on, remember, you're holding on to God. You're not God. Let God be God, and you be what God wants you to be, and that is totally dependent upon Him.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more precepts for life. Thank you.